who did a very good job as we had some young folks from the surrounding area come and to be with us yesterday. And young folks, you mean a lot to the congregation here, and it's very important as to what you do. And everything that everyone is doing here is so very important. I have a brief excerpt of a letter I received just recently to read to you tonight to show you how important each and every one of you are as we talk in our continuing series on evangelism tonight, and I hope you can be here for that. This morning I want to talk about Ruth, a Gentile woman named Ruth, and she triumphed in adversity. And as we talked about with the young folks yesterday about discouragement, she was very, very discouraged. She had to be discouraged. And you'll remember the story of Ruth. Ruth was a Moabite woman. You'll see the red circle to your right. That's Moab, and it's just east of the Dead Sea. Above that, to the right a little bit, is Benjamin. And there was a woman named Naomi, and she was married to her husband. There was a famine during the period of the judges, and they moved from Benjamin to Moab to escape the famine. And there Ruth's two sons married Moabite women. And you remember, as the story goes, that Ruth's husband died and both of her sons died. This left Ruth alone with her two daughters-in-law. And so you can imagine how discouraging that was. The book of Ruth is about one of these women. It's about one of the Moabite women. It's about one of Naomi's daughter-in-laws. And as her husband had died, here she was unmarried with no means of financial support. It wasn't like today in our country where there's such a thing as Social Security, and then there's also means whereby those who are poor and destitute may live a fairly decent lifestyle. No such a thing for Ruth at that time. So she decides to go back with her mother-in-law to Benjamin, there to a strange land to live amongst the Jews, her as a Gentile. She probably was afraid of things that were going to be happening. As she went to a strange land, possibly to be unwelcomed, there she was poor, she was probably going to be a beggar of some sort or another, and she had to find a way to support herself and also her mother-in-law. The title of this lesson is, Have the Faith of a Gentile Named Ruth, and Triumph in Adversity. If you'll turn your Bibles with me to Ruth chapter 1, and it's right after the book of Judges, because this was during the period of the Judges, we notice a few things about Ruth, a few reasons that she triumphed in adversity. The first thing this morning I want to draw to your attention is that she triumphed in adversity because she chose God and she put God first in her life. Beginning in verse 14, Ruth chapter 1, verse 14. And they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah, that's Ruth's daughter-in-law, Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Then she said, Behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. You'll remember that Ruth, as she had decided to go back to Benjamin, she told her daughters-in-law, said, Just go on back to your father's house and go back to your gods, and you'll find husbands there and you'll have a very nice life. Orpah decided to do that, but Ruth decided she was not going to do that. Ruth decided she was going to stay with her mother-in-law, apparently having learned about God. Verse 16, But Ruth said, Do not urge me to leave you or to turn back from following you, for where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. And apparently Ruth had learned something about Jehovah God while she was living here with her husband, who was a Jew. Verse 17, Where you die, I will die, and where I will, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you and me. Ruth chose God. She chose to leave her pagan gods back in Moab. She chose to leave her father and her mother and her friends. She chose to leave everything she knew as far as life was and go and be with the people of God. And that's the decision you and I must make. To become a Christian and to leave the world, to leave perhaps our friends of the world, to leave our life we knew in the world, to be a Christian and to have a whole new life, being a brand new creature. And this is what Ruth did. This is what we must do. As Christians, Jesus tells us that we must deny ourselves and take up our cross, lose our life, and follow after Him. If we do, we will find our life. If we do, we will triumph in adversity. If we do, we will have the strength and the confidence and the ability, and we, as we talked with the young folks yesterday, the courage to stand up in the trials of life and to be triumphant. Notice a few passages with me very quickly. An important decision for us. And we see here in Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 30. As one of the scribes had come to Jesus and asked Him, "What is the foremost commandment?" And Jesus said, "It is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all of your strength." In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 17, and He said to him, "Why are you asking Me about what is good? There is only one who is good, but if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." That's what is important for us. Love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to keep the commandments. If we do so, 1 John 3 and verse 22, that we will be blessed in doing these things. Whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments. And then Revelation chapter 14, 12. Here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus Christ. So this is what is set for you and I to do. To choose God first. To pick God. To decide to leave the world of sin. To leave the world of those who are disobeying God. To leave the world of those who have turned their back on God. To be encouraged, to take courage, and to go be with the people of God. That's our first decision in life. Well, have you made that decision? Have you made that decision to choose God, to love God, to obey God? Have you made that decision to become a Christian? And have you kept that in your life? Or have you turned away from it? Perhaps not as zealous as you used to be. Are you on fire and fervent in spirit for the Lord? Let me encourage all of us this morning, if you haven't made that decision, make that decision this morning. Make it right now. Choose God to be first in your life. And if you've made that decision in the past, make it again. Recommit yourself to be more zealous today than you ever have been, to be more fervent in your spirit. That means to be on fire for God more than you ever have in all of your life. Do it today and do it right now. Ruth also triumphed in adversity because she did the right things. And she did the right things because she chose God to be first in her life. And because of that, she had a good reputation. In Ruth chapter 2, notice what she did. She went back to Bethlehem and there she was poor. And there she had no food, she had no money, she had no way of support. Her mother-in-law was poor, and they were just destitute. And notice what she did. We'll read some verses here in just a moment. She went out into the field to glean. And you remember, according to the old law, the Mosaic law, that when a man owned a field and he grew some crops there, that he was not to glean that field. He wasn't to go back a second time and picked up what wasn't picked the first time, but rather that was to be left there for the poor. And so here was Ruth. She goes out to glean the field. She goes out, humbles herself to be the poor person that she was, to go out and be basically a beggar out working to pick up the leftovers which were left behind. So she goes out to do this, and she accidentally comes upon Boaz. Now, do you think it's just an accident that she came to Boaz's field just by accident? Well, I think it's not quite an accident. It seems to me that God's providence was working in this as God was directing her and helping her, and she goes to the place she had to be, she needed to be, to the one place, to the one field owned by the one man, and that is Boaz. And so she does that, verses 1 through 3. I want you to notice verse 7, that she was polite and she worked hard. She asked permission. She did not go to Boaz or his servants there and say, you know, the law says I can come here and do this. You guys got to let me. She just asked if she could do it. She was polite. Notice the demeanor of this woman. Notice that she did not try to freeload, but she worked hard. She worked hard for what little bit. She worked all day long just to have something to eat for herself and her mother-in-law, and she worked all day, hard as could be, didn't complain a bit, didn't expect anybody to give her anything. She worked for it, and she worked hard. Verse 14. Boaz really liked her. And we'll notice some of the things about her character that attracted Boaz to her. Verse 14, she was allowed to eat with the workers and even to take some home for later. Verse 15, she was allowed to glean even among the sheaves where it hadn't even been picked yet. She was allowed to glean there and where barley had not been picked yet. Verse 16, Boaz commanded his servants to pull out some grain from their bundles and leave it behind for her to easily pick up from the ground. And so the servants would have a bundle, and Boaz said, just let a little slip out there so Ruth can come behind and make it real easy for her to get something so she can take it and she can have something to eat. Just go on and make it easy for her to do that. Verses 21 to 22. She was protected by Boaz and his servants throughout the entire harvesting season. Now, why was Boaz attracted to Ruth? Why was he so favorable toward her? And why did he bless her? Look at Ruth chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. 8 through 11. Then Boaz said to Ruth, listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field furthermore. Do not go on from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw. Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner? Verse 11. Boaz replied to her, all that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of her husband has been fully reported to me. And how you left your father and your mother and the house of your birth and came to a people that you did not previously know. Boaz says, you have a good reputation, that I have heard about you and the things that you do and how you act toward your mother-in-law and how you take care of her, and that you left your mother and father and your own people where you could easily have had a husband and had a great life and had a nice home and have somebody to take care of you, and you left all of that to come to a people you did not know. Boaz says, I have heard about that. And I like that. I respect that. And that tells us something about having a good reputation we'll talk about in just a moment. In verse 12, I want you to notice that Boaz acknowledged that Ruth's blessings were coming from the Lord. Verse 12, may the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. So Boaz knew what was going on. Boaz knew that Ruth left her home and her idols and the pagan gods, and she came to seek refuge with the people of Almighty God. And he looked at that and he respected that because she made the right decision. She was doing the right thing, and so she was blessed above all others, perhaps, that were there. And that tells us something about having a good reputation. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But look down to verse 14. Here was Ruth, who was poor, who was destitute, who would work all day long just to have something to eat. And I want you to know the character. She was charitable to Naomi. Verse 14. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here, that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." So she sat beside the reapers, and he served her roasted grain. And she ate and was satisfied and had some left. Now drop down to verses 17 and 18. Verse 17, so she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley, and took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also took it out and gave Naomi what she had left after she was satisfied. So get this. He was Ruth, and she was out in the heat of the day, and she was working. And it came time for lunch, and Boaz gave her some lunch, and she had some left over, and she saved it. She worked on the rest of the day, and she went home at night, and she took what she had saved, and she gave it to her mother-in-law, who may not have eaten anything all day long. And she'd been out working all day, been out in the heat of the day, been working so hard, probably was exhausted, manual labor, very hard labor. And she was out doing that, and she took the little bit that she had left over, and she did not eat it for herself, but she gave it to someone who needed it worse than she needed it. Notice the character of this individual. Here's a saying for you. The poor who give to others are the richest of all. The poor who give to others are the richest of all. And I didn't think to bring a statistic for you, but a percentage of their income in the United States of America today, who do you think gives more of their income, the percentage of their income, the poor or the rich? The poor. The poor. Perhaps because they know what it's like to be poor. Perhaps they know what it's like not to have something to eat. It wasn't too long ago in Thomasville, before we moved here, we had one of the ladies with the school system come and do a program for us at the Kiwanis Club, and she told us this. There are some kids in our community that have nothing to eat between Friday lunch and Monday lunch in Thomasville, Georgia. They are poor people. They are poor people in every community. And Ruth knew what it was like to be poor. And she, after working all day, took her little bit that was left over and gave it to her mother-in-law. Jesus says it's more blessed to give than to receive, Paul tells us, Acts 20:35. Jesus, who was opposite the treasury, as you remember, when he walked upon the earth, saw a widow put in 2 copper coins. And Jesus said that she put in more than all of the rich people that day, all that they had been contributing out of all of their riches, because she gave out of her poverty and put all that she owned at 2 small copper coins. Ruth had this great character. She was one who worked hard. She was not looking to be a freeloader. She was working hard. She would work all day for something to eat, and what little she took, she had left over, she would take it and gave it to her mother-in-law, who may not have eaten at all that day. And application for us. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1. A good name is to be more desirable than great wealth. Favor is better than silver and gold. And do we think about this, about our reputation? Do we think about this, that when people hear our name, to what they think about us? Do we think that our reputation... Excuse me, I almost coughed there, so my voice went up an octave. Do we think about what people think about us when they look at us, when they see us, when they think about us, when they hear our name? Do we understand how important our reputation is to what we stand for? Again, I'm going to bring a little note to you tonight, and I'm going to read it right out for you, just a part of it. I'm not going to tell you who it's from, to show you what our reputation is here as a church, what your reputation is here as people. And it's a good one. It's a good one. How valuable is our name? A good name is better than a good ointment. A good name is better than the best medicine man has. You know, cancer is a disease that takes the life of people. And it's a horrible disease. It's a very painful disease, oftentimes. And there's a lot of struggle, there's a lot of agony that go along with all of that. But you know, a good reputation is better than the best cancer medicine. It's better to die an agonizing, miserable death with no relief, with no pain medicine, with no relief whatsoever, than to give up our good name. And do we look at it that way? Is that the way that we think? We see from the life of Ruth of how valuable that good name. Ruth had nothing but her name. That's all that she had. And you know, in our country today, people are getting further and further away from that. We moved here and we came down and we rented a house. And so I come down the second weekend and here I'm signing the lease and all of that. And I said, from where I'm from, we handle this with a handshake. That's how we do it. When I worked in Leesburg, Florida, we rented a warehouse. We rented a warehouse and somewhere up in Alabama, and I think it was Prattville, Alabama, and went up and I went to secure the deal and to finalize everything, and it was finalized with a handshake. He respected my name, I respected his name. And what I said I was going to do, he could count on that. And what he said he was going to do, he could count on that. But we're getting away from that, aren't we? Because the value of our name, just generally speaking, is not what it used to be. The value isn't there. And you could go into all the reasons why that is true. And all of the people who are breaking their agreements, even when it is in paper and when it is signed and they're breaking their agreements. Ruth had her name. That's all that she had. And you look at it. When we leave this earth, what is it we're going to take with us? Are we going to take our things? Are we going to take the things we've accumulated? Are we going to take our wealth or our homes or our cars? Any of those types of things? No, you cannot take your things with you. You can only take who you are. That's all you got. And that's your name. That is the most important thing that we have here. If we do the right things and have the good, right reputation, a good reputation, the Lord will bless us in our life and most importantly, in the life to come. Ruth also was victorious in adversity because she was virtuous. She was an excellent woman. Turn your Bibles with me to chapter 3. Chapter 3. And this sounds a little strange to you and I. The events that unfold here. This sounds a little weird, a little strange, a little unusual in our culture today. And you can go and research it and read lots of things about it. But there's one thing we have to understand as we read through Ruth chapter 3 is that Ruth was a virtuous, she was an excellent woman. And although she was trying to attract attention to herself in a very good type of way, that she did it in a morally good and righteous way. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now is not Boaz your kinsman with whose maid you were? Behold the winnower's barley at the threshing floor tonight. Wash yourself therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your best clothes, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. It shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go and uncover his feet and lie down. Then he will tell you what you shall do." She said to her, "All that you say I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law had commanded her. When Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain, and she came secretly and uncovered his feet and lay down. It happened in the middle of the night that the man was startled and bent forward and found a woman was lying at his feet. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your maid. So spread your covering over your maid, for you are a close relative." Then he said, "May you be blessed of the Lord, my daughter. You have shown your last kindness to be greater than the first by not going after young men, whether poor or rich. So this is the first thing we want to notice. Her great character, that she was virtuous. Yes, she wanted a husband. Yes, to survive, unless she was just going to be poor and glean from field to field, and perhaps in the wintertime just be a beggar that was out and people would pass by and make fun of and perhaps mock, and all of these things. She needed a husband, and she was out to find one. And Boaz says that the way you have acted in your kindness, it is greater now than at the first. What did she do at the first? She left her homeland to be with Ruth and to be with Naomi and to take care of Naomi and to be with the people of God. And now she gets there and she's not chasing after these men. Desperate for a husband, whether old or young, but simply doing what the Bible tells us, the law of Moses tells us that should be done, that her nearest kinsmen should be married to her and raise up children. And she sought to do that. To do what God commanded in His Word, and she sought to do that in a good way and in a virtuous way. Continue on. Verse 11, "Now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you whatever you ask, for all my people in the city know that you are a woman of excellence." And that is another word for virtue. Everyone in the city knew. Boaz says, "I'm not afraid to take you as my wife, unless the one before me takes you. I'm not afraid to do whatever you want. You want me to marry you? I'm not afraid of that. To take you into my household, to make you my wife, I'm not afraid of that, because everybody in town knows this about Ruth, that she's virtuous and that she is an excellent woman." People who are faithful to the Lord are virtuous. You think about Ruth, and she was virtuous. You think about her after her husband had died, and she was in her own community, there without a husband. Her mother and father were there. Other friends that she had was there, and she left that community to be with the people of God. Committed not to run after young men or old men just to get married and just to have a nice life, to have a nice home, to have perhaps lots of money, maybe to own all kinds of property and never to have to work hardly another day in her life, just to have servants in her house, take care of all that. She didn't go chasing after all of that. She left her home to be with the people of God, and she was going to do what God said. And to have a husband the way God said. And everybody in town knew that she was a virtuous woman and that she was excellent. And she was not going to compromise her morals for money or marriage or anything else. Those who are faithful to the Lord are virtuous. And you think about Boaz. Boaz, who realized who Ruth was, even before that. Realizing what she had done and that she was a good person, and he reached out to help her. Not because she was a Jew. At that time, probably not because he knew that she was a family member. Maybe very distant. But because she was a good person. And you think about others. You think about Joseph, who refused to compromise. You think about Joseph. As he was in Potiphar's house and Potiphar's wife tried to molest him over and over and over again, and finally takes off his, I forget what they called it, bottom half of whatever he had on. And he ran out the door. Then he was accused of doing the wrong thing. Then he got thrown into prison because he was doing the right thing. But he never compromised. He was virtuous. He was excellent. He had high moral standards that he refused to compromise. People of God. Think about Rahab the harlot. And I bring her up because both Ruth and Rahab are in the lineage of Christ. Both in the lineage of Christ. Ruth was a poor woman whose husband died, who left her family to come be with the people of God. She's in the lineage of Christ. She didn't ever compromise her morals. And Rahab was a harlot. She's opposite of Ruth. Ruth seems to be a good person from the very beginning. Rahab wasn't, but Rahab learned the truth. And Rahab sought to be with the people of God and to save the spies as they came in to Jericho and send them out another way. And she learned the truth and she feared God. And she repented of her past lifestyle. And she too is in the lineage of Christ. You see, as the old song says, just as I am, it doesn't matter where we've been, it matters where we're going. That's what's important. If we've been on the right track all the way, well, that is fantastic and that's great. And just stay virtuous and stay excellent, and the Lord is going to bless you because of that. But if you're on the wrong track, just get on the right track, and then the Lord is going to bless you and He's going to use you in His service. You see, it doesn't care where you've been, it cares where you're going. That's what's important. To be virtuous. It doesn't matter about our past, it matters about what we do today and our future. To be virtuous and to be excellent. And the Lord will use us in His service. As these four people are in eternity today, Ruth, Boaz, Joseph, and Rahab, what do you think is important to them today? What do you think is important to Ruth? That she married a rich guy and had a really great and fantastic life and had perhaps a life of ease and luxury? You think that's important to her today? You think about Boaz, a very rich man, had lots of things, and you think it's important to him, all of that stuff? You think that's what's important? You think he cares any about that today? You think about Joseph, who was the number two guy in Egypt. And he would go through town and people would bow down to him. He'd be riding around some chariot, have servants all around. I mean, he was a very important person. You think any of that matters to him today? How about Rahab? I'm sure she was sorry about her past when she was doing the right thing. I'm sure she was very happy when she was doing the right thing. But do you think any wealth or anything like that has much of anything to do with her today? What's important to them? I'm sure what's important to them is that they did the right thing. That Ruth did the right thing. That she moved from Moab to be with the people of God, and she is a great, 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 great grandmother of Jesus Christ. I don't know how many greats you put on there. I'm sure that's what's important to her, don't you? And how about Boaz? That he married her and brought up the offspring. And how about Joseph? That he saved God's people out of the famine. And how about Rahab? That she's in the lineage of Christ. And you know, I want to speculate and say, when all of us are in eternity, these things down here aren't going to matter anything to us. And I suspect in time we'll just forget all about them. The things that we think are so important today, a nice house and a car and our bank accounts and retirement and all of these things, aren't going to matter anything whatsoever. It's who we are, what we are, and who we are in eternity. To be virtuous, to be excellent, to have a good reputation of not compromising our morals. That's what's going to be important in eternity. Christians must be virtuous. I want to skip on to the end. Do you have the faith of a Gentile woman named Ruth? Do you have the faith of a Gentile woman named Ruth? We're going to extend the gospel invitation, number 317, this morning. 317. All things are ready. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter where you've been. It matters where you're going. Where are you going this morning? Are you on your way to heaven? Are you with the children of God? Are you a Christian? Doing the very best that you can. Virtuous. Morally excellent. Standing for what's right. Not compromising your morals. Is that who you are today? If you are, you know the Lord's going to bless you and you're going to have a good life. This life, the next life, throughout eternity, is going to be great, it's going to be wonderful, it's going to be a blessing. But if you're not there, we implore you to get there today. And to do so just as Ruth had to do. Leave the world of sin and go be with the people of God. You need to go be with the people of God today to become a Christian. Just simply to do what Jesus Christ asked us to do, believe in Him, repent of your sins, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, to submit yourself to be immersed in water, rise up out of that water, your sins being forgiven, they're being washed away, being added to the Lord's church, being a new creation, being a Christian, having left the world of sin, now righteous and holy in the kingdom of our dear Lord Jesus Christ. If you're subject to the gospel invitation in any way this morning, won't you step to the front now as we stand and sing.